Okay, we are on the Eighth Commandment. Does anybody know what the Eighth Commandment is?
Covet.
What's that?
Covet.
I got two people, one person shaking their head. Well, what we're studying today, whether it's not covet, it's called stealing. Thou shalt not steal, Exodus 20, 15. So, it well could be covet. I have never gone back. I assume these were in order.
So. I was just agreeing with her. So.
Yeah, well, I know. And I was going to talk to you afterwards because I've been doing that for 32 years. And I guess my question for 34 years.
I was just
saying.
There's 2 years he wasn't listening. Yeah, I stole a couple.
Yeah. You did what?
Stole a couple years.
There you go. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Thank you, Brother Felton, for playing into my strategy this morning. So, in Exodus 20:15, it says, "Thou shalt not steal." So, what does it mean to steal? What's the definition of that word? When you hear "thou shalt not steal," what does it mean to you?
Taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Pretty much defines it.
What's that?
That pretty much defines it.
That pretty much defines it, huh? Well, give me some examples of that.
Be going into a store and taking something without paying for it. Could be taking stuff from work home for your personal use.
Okay.
It could be taking somebody's idea and claiming it as your own. It could be emailing and texting on work time. You're stealing your work time from your boss.
Anything else?
No, it's the bosses.
Is stealing ever good?
Stealing ever good?
Yeah.
I guess I'd have to say no.
Yeah. A little bit of a trick question. Doesn't have to be. Those of you that like sports will know that in baseball you can steal bases.
Yeah, but if it's a team I don't like, it's not good.
Yeah.
Justification I could come up with was in time of war stealing the enemy's secrets.
Huh?
But I can't think of anything else that can be.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So did you ever steal anything and get caught when you were growing up? Any memories of it?
No, but I knew kids shoplifting and barred from stores for life, one offense. And it was a situation where actually I was asked by a friend to carry something out for them and their thing that they were doing.
So you got barred from the store?
Not me.
Oh.
No, that was my name. No, I wasn't there.
Is there anybody here that hasn't stolen something?
I'm sure by now I can't remember.
You know, I'm sure that well, I got pencils and pens and stuff from work, you know, all the time. And it's not, it's kind of interesting when you think about stealing in that context. I mean, stealing, we're going to talk about it, you know, you rationalize and justify, it's not really stealing. Just kind of an interesting thing, rationalizing stealing something. I mean, we tend to think kind of black and white. When I was in Houston, so I was almost 18 years old, and the job that my roommate and I had were 288 apartments, and they were, they were 50 units, and there was five of them, so I guess 250 of them. And in the center of them, they had courtyards. And we were managers over a unit of 50 of them, and then we had to do call, rotated every 5 weeks or something like that. But anyway, some of the apartments you would rent for would have, already had the furniture in it, so, and others did, but there was obviously a premium if you got one that was already had all the furniture and everything into it. So. And I remember. it was a very interesting, Nick was talking about, he was in Houston, an interesting place in Houston at the time. It was a very, it was kind of between a very ritzy section of Houston and a very core area of Houston. It was kind of this band, it was kind of like in the middle of it, and it was a brand new place. Whether, you know, when you got into it, there was an awful lot of still tensions and there was wars literally between the Hispanics and the blacks. It was kind of interesting. But anyway, people came in one day and it was my roommate and I, and most of you know I like electronics. And this guy wanted a furnished apartment, but he didn't have the money to do for it. But he said that if we would go ahead and give him a furnished apartment, that he would get us a couple of TVs and for our personal gain, so to speak. And I can honestly remember kind of going, I could feel myself being tempted to do that. Now, would that have been stealing?
Likely was stolen stuff.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what I was thinking.
But I didn't steal it.
But you'd be stealing from probably the owner of the condo because he wouldn't be getting his full rent on a monthly basis.
Okay.
So in
but I didn't do it. I mean, it wasn't me.
You allowed it to happen.
You were in control.
Oh, I was in control. I was in control of whether or not I accepted something that even though it wasn't stated that it was stolen goods. And I would have been stealing from my employer. Me personally, I wouldn't have been stealing, but I would have turned a blind eye to something and basically was denying and allowing somebody else in essence to steal.
When you're encouraging somebody else to sin.
So what's that?
You're encouraging somebody else to sin.
That's an interesting observation, too. Yeah. Did I do it? In this particular case, I did. What's in my head in this particular case? I did. But I've reflected on that many times because there was that rationalization going on in my mind. You know, wow, I didn't steal it. But all those types of things that you talked about, and really when you objectively stand back, you kind of go, wow, there's nothing good here. There's nothing good that can come from this. Now, interestingly enough, these individuals that offered the free electronics in exchange, it was just bartering, although it wasn't one in barter, but it was to barter either. They actually were arrested. And what they were doing is that the distribution center things come in to different ports and they knew where the electronics of this particular organization was and they had somebody on the inside and they would just take the truck and back it up. Now, if that had happened and I had done that and then they would start sleuthing about it and they had found out that I had been a recipient, and then they had taken the next step and found out that they, had an apartment that was furnished, but they weren't paying for an apartment that was furnished. So what do you think would have happened to me?
You leased to them.
That I leased to them.
That's good.
That's good. I could have ended up in jail for those actions and choices, and I would have dug my feet in all the way and said, ooh, I didn't steal anything. Now, it's a little harder to defend in my mind the fact that I stole from I did not fulfill my responsibilities in my job.
A glaring example we used to hear of all the time were hotels. People would take everything not mailed down because they stay and they think they can take the towels and glasses, the whatever. Mm-hmm. That's theft.
Yeah. One more example before we launch into and see the video. The job, first job I had out of college, and some of you may have heard me give this story before, but when to Salem's assistant food service director, and I was there for about a year and a half, and then I was asked to go back to Corvallis, where I graduated from school, and actually worked for about two and a half years. I worked in the kitchen, in the tray line, and washing pots and pans, and so it was an entry-level position, but obviously it was helping me in school. And typically was, I would work in the evening shift, for the 4 to 8:30 type of a thing. And, so then she rewinded when I was in school, and in the evening there was no supervisor. It was for a small group, probably 5 or 6 of us. And even then we didn't have a lead. We were just kind of on the honor system. And I was a college student, and you don't have a lot of money. But what was common practice is that when you go up to the cafeteria, the person who was on the cash register was, you know, most of us were in high school or college, and you go through and get your food, and you know, the cashier wouldn't ring it up, and everybody would go through. So we were all basically for free. Or it was not uncommon that you go in and you grab a small carton of milk or a sandwich out of the food itself. Have any of you ever heard me tell a story before? And the reality was, you know, everybody was doing it. And a lot of this food was going to get thrown away. I mean, I guess, you know, I knew that they weren't going to eat all the stuff that they had. So what's the big deal? So, you know, there, to my knowledge, I don't remember, but I don't think everybody was doing it, but there was a good percentage of it. I mean, it was a very well-known and common practice that happened in the food service. So was that stealing?
Technically, yeah.
Sure.
It was like when my brother and I were going to college down in Salem. It was getting down to the end of the year, and I knew we were working janitorial type of thing. We were cleaning Montgomery Wards there in the mall there, Salem, next door there. And at the end of the night, you took, you know, all these empty boxes and stuff, and you were smashing them down and throwing them in a dumpster so they could be hauled away. It was garbage. But we needed boxes to pack stuff in so we could move back home, you know. So we were taking the boxes, and we'd take empty boxes. It was like the weekend before we were finally supposed to move back home. They called me, well, they had surveillance cameras, you know. You're taking boxes, why are you taking boxes, and what else are you taking? So we're just taking boxes to move, you know. Did you get permission to do that? Well, no, you didn't really even think about that, you know. We were throwing them away if you're not going to use them.
But it's interesting because, obviously, you know, we're too obscene from the appearance of evil. And it's kind of interesting. I fall in a similar type of situation. Well, they're being thrown away, we could use them. Always probably good just to ask them.
Yeah.
But because people, when they start looking for something, sometimes they're also trying to cover their own tracks or something.
Well, in this particular case, there was somebody that was stealing stuff. And,
yeah, and sometimes you get caught in that web of other people's choices. And
yeah.
So let me tell you the rest of the story and pose a question to you. So I've told you, you know, that everybody was doing it, so. I was getting free dinner. There's food that more likely would have been thrown away anyway, so it wasn't that big a deal. So I graduate, and I go to Salem for a year and a half, and I come back, and I'm the director of the program. So, I'm 23 years old at the time. Probably 90% of the people that worked in that department, you know, are still there. And so I'm the director now. So what's going through my mind, you think? Let's go on through the rest of the staff's life.
You think you are. You leave for a year, you come back, and then you're the boss.
Okay, yeah, well, there was that going on.
There was.
You did it, now you're telling us we can.
Pot kettle.
Pot calling the kettle black, yeah.
Or they could think they could get away with more.
Ah, they think they could get away with more. So, what would you do? What would you do in that situation?
Probably set up some kind of a program where you got one free meal for your shift. So that way it wouldn't be stealing. They could have the meal. It would be legitimate. But then there would be expectations. If you get this, you can't. And you got to stick it, leave it to this point. You don't get to take a week's worth of groceries with you.
That's assuming there's budget allows to feed everybody.
Interesting. Yeah. Other thoughts? Guess you could do nothing, just go through with it and hope that they never raise its head.
Maybe it would be difficult if you could always acknowledge that what was being done was wrong and you recognize it was wrong and this is the policy we need to do now. I mean, that would be hard, but all up to the fact that we were all doing the wrong thing, including me, and we need to remedy the situation.
Also, come clean. Right?
That's the tough choice.
That's easy, isn't it? That's easy. That's easy. Well, that's what I did. Went back and I called a meeting with everybody in the department. And this was probably about 2 weeks into my director role. And I pulled everybody together and I said, this is what I did. I didn't call any names out. This is a common practice that I know is going on. I participated in it. I rationalize it. The bottom line is, it wasn't right. It's not right now, and it wasn't right when I was doing it in the past. And my comment to them was that the slate is clean. I have no interest or desire of catching anybody to do it. But the stake is now on the ground. But you know, going forward, if I catch anybody doing it, and I have no desire to look or to find anybody, but if it comes to my attention, these are the consequences. You will be held accountable for that choice. So in essence, you know, at that point, everybody was given the free pass, but I accepted the accountability for it. But the point is that when you think about stealing, it's like a lot of these other topics. You begin to get into these tangled webs because you never know what's going to come back to haunt you, and it impacts, and it casts its shadow, and it casts a shadow upon your integrity, and at the core of who you are. And so this is an interesting topic because we tend to go and think about stealing like stealing cars or stealing money and those types of things. And there's some other elements we haven't even talked about that I think are really important to look at this. The thing that's really fascinating about the Ten Commandments, you know, for me as I've gone through them this time, is that we tend to look at it historically. It's always been kind of a very single act, and that's what it means. And yet, when you really think about it, you know, a lot of we tend to generalize or we stereotype exactly, you know, how we define the term of stealing. And we have a very nice, neat definition of what it is. But stealing is far, far more. Adultery is far, far more than what you look at. And as we talked last week, the spiritual world, and we typically want to talk about the physical itself. So that's the richness when you start thinking about the Ten Commandments that God gave us. Okay, let's go ahead and look at this. It's about 10, 12 minutes long. But the thing I want you to take a look at in here is what were the examples of stealing in the video when you see this?
Previously on the 10.
reading into it.
Wow, you solo like your old man.
Dad, I didn't know you were coming down here.
Yeah, and who's the genius that booked us at the Troubadour? I mean, my kid's playing the Staples Center, and I'm playing a wooden box. Come on.
Your son has suffered severe head trauma from the accident. We lost him. I'm so sorry.
I don't have just any celebrity. I have the perfect celebrity. I give you Godwater!
Los Angeles seems to have the best the world can offer, and everyone seems to have it. Naturally, no matter how much we have, we're left with the feeling that we really need just a little bit more. Of course, if that comes from taking a little bit more from someone else, so be it.
Going to yoga.
Do you not have a car?
Do you not have two?
I need the Rover.
Whatever. Gate.
Your father gave me the code.
Yeah, right. Can't you people respect our privacy?
Tori, that's enough.
Whatever.
Let's talk in the studio. Your daughter's a charmer.
Right.
This is a great shot of your son.
Hey, I was told that you're the guy, and for the money I'm paying you, you better be the guy.
Trevor, what can I do to make a miracle happen for you?
I was going through his stuff. I found this raw footage. It's his last song.
This is really
making a hit.
You want this song to be a number one hit?
Yeah, I want it to be a number one hit. I have the right guy here.
Absolutely. I'll get back to you.
What do you mean you'll get back to me?
24 hours.
24 hours? It better be 24 hours, and this better be number one.
Promise.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Be seeing you.
Bad day, Russell. The bad guys are winning, so if you don't have something important to say, turn around.
There's going to be a trial to declare Angelica Vita legally dead.
Why?
A few billion reasons.
The will.
Apparently, Python of her brother is the sole heir if she's declared dead.
Well, finally, a motive.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Tread carefully.
You got it.
This song is amazing.
I know it's amazing. That's why I gave it to you, to let the rest of the world hear it.
Imagine the roar of the audience when you play this song. just before you finish your set, you'll take to the piano, and you'll tell a story about young Will. This photograph will appear in the background on the jumbo screen. And then, you will play the song that you wrote in his memory. This song.
That's your big idea. You want me to steal my son's song.
Steal is such a subjective word. I mean, a harsh, harsh word. To be brutally honest, your last album bombed. Your tours, they can't even fill a club. Well, his filled stadiums.
Yeah, you know what? But he's dead. My son is dead.
I am truly sorry. So is the rest of the world. That is why you need to dedicate your next single to his memory. You haven't had a number one single in, what, 18 years?
Yeah, I mean, do you honestly think you can make this happen?
$1.5 million when you hit number one. $500,000 for every late-night talk show appearance. An extra $500,000 for every week on the top 10. For that, I can make the sun rise in the west. What do you say?
You know what? Get to work.
Good choice. Hartwell, my man, did you get my pitch? Who does not want to see Trevor Evans debut a song dedicated to his late son? I mean, come on. Yeah? Pick a date and he's there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can have the demo to you tonight. Perfect. Hey, do me a favor.
I'm so bored. Let's go out.
No. Instead, why don't you work your computer magic and create a blogospheric explosion of Trevor Evans' new single?
You're kidding.
No. Very serious.
Where are you going?
I've got an oncologist appointment.
What's an oncologist?
Cancer doctor.
You have cancer?
We'll find out.
Lance.
I can't be late.
Do you love me?
What?
It's a simple question. Do you love me?
Hannah.
Never mind. You don't have to say anymore.
It's complicated.
I know.
You'll do my blogging, right?
Yeah.
That's my girl.
You remember I'm going out of town tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever, fine.
If you were anywhere on the planet 6 months ago, then you heard all about Will Evans' tragic death on the 10 freeway just after his first big tour date. Just an amazingly sad story. Well, tonight, Will's father, rock legend Trevor Evans, is here to talk about and debut his brand new single, On and On. He's dedicated it to his son, Will. I've heard it. It's amazing. So everybody, let's bring out Trevor Evans.
I know you're watching this. What did I tell you, huh?
Thank you.
I'm looking at my bank statement now, which I'm waiting on that balance, the bonus. My balance isn't bad, but we can always use more, right?
Unbelievable. I can't believe this ride. It's.
Do you love me?
It's complicated.
Actually, Lance, it's Not that complicated.
Yeah.
First flight to Cabo, okay? And will you be checking any baggage today? Oh, you have no idea.
Goes around, comes around. Isn't it always true of stealing, though? You know, the thief takes something, and instead of being able to enjoy it, they're always looking over their shoulder, worrying about whether they're ever going to get caught. You know, the Bible tells us of one of the greatest thefts of all time. It begins with Isaac. He was older, and he was blind and feeble, but he was a very wealthy man, and he had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau was older, and he was entitled to the inheritance. But Jacob and their mother Rebekah had a different plan. So they devised this scheme. They steal Esau's clothes, and Esau was very hairy, so they take the hair from a goat and put it on his arms. And he goes in there to visit with Isaac. So Isaac can't see him, but he smells Esau's clothes, and he reaches out and he feels the fur, and he thinks, well, that's Esau. And then Jacob gets him to give him the inheritance right then and there. He gets away with it until Esau finds out. And Esau swears he's going to kill him. So Jacob's got to go on the run, and he goes to a foreign country to live with his uncle for 20 years. I mean, you talk about sweating when you put your key in the ignition. For 20 long years, there's Jacob waking up thinking, is today the day when it all comes back to get me? See, to steal is to take. And we steal all the time. I mean, we steal a child's joy when we ignore them, when all they want to do is show us a picture. And we steal a person's dignity when they're just trying to do their job and we just treat them like dirt. We can put people down. We can take away their hope. We can steal just about anything, anytime, anywhere. In the movie, Lance is a master of taking. He uses Trevor's grief to convince him to steal his son's song. Then he uses Hannah's love to make that song a hit. On the way, he steals more than money. He robs everyone in his wake of who they are. Not once did he stop to give anything. But in the end, he loses everything. I think about the moment when he realizes when Hannah had robbed him back, and you know he was thinking to himself about all the times he could have said just that one kind word, and he could have just reached out and done one thing she wanted to do. You see, with each of these commandments, we focus so much on the do not. But for every do not, there's a flip side. There's a do. Do not steal. But there's do give. And with that, every commandment presents a fundamental choice. In this case, we can take, spend the rest of our life looking over our shoulders, worrying about when it's going to come back and get us. Or we can do the easy thing. And we can just give.
Fascinating view through the lens, a little different than what we tend to take a look at, isn't it? I love it when I always hear the statement in the video, it's complicated. Yeah, how many of us have at least played that scenario out in our mind? Well, it's complicated. Well, typically when you say it's complicated, in a situation similar to that, that means that there's, you know, there's other priorities or there's other things that are coming in conflict with. In this particular case, there were other things that were coming in conflict with his relationship with her. We steal all the time when we steal a child's joy, when we ignore them with all they want, when all they want is to show us a picture. And a child, you know, we've seen this, we've talked about it before, but I have to tell you, kids, when they're small,
I mean, by the time that they're, what, 3-4 years old, an awful lot of those very core of who they are is set in stone based on the example and the experience that they've had. And, boy, I got to tell you, can you think about the number of times with your children, and you see it now with your kids, you know, you can see the hurt sometimes when you have that opportunity to self-reflect and go back and say, boy, that was a missed opportunity. Or, you know, like when you see it in their face, when you know you've made, you know, you've prioritized your time for them. But it's such a wonderful example of really human nature, though. But it's also, you know, people just mask their hurts. They just drive deeper. In the movie, you know, what were the examples of what was being stolen? Or the impacts of being stolen?
His son's name.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't so much the song as it was as his identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. What motivates a person to steal?
Greed, power.
Yeah.
He rationalized in his mind he was doing it for his son.
There's very few times that we don't rationalize our behavior. What was the multi-million dollars that he went back and was looking at his bank account, if you remember, was really, you know, was money that if his sister died by the time she was 40, he would get the money. You know, well, he was entitled to that money. So he was going to make sure it happened, and he got his fair share. Yeah. How about the little girl that opened the door? Get any sense anything been stolen from her? The dad was so focused on the fact that his son had gotten a measure of fame that he felt that he had within his grasp, and he didn't get it. And as he was so consumed with either himself or seeing his son be successful, that he ignored his daughter. I mean, would you suggest that young lady went to open the door, had a loving relationship with her parents? Probably not. Probably a pretty good sense that it was probably an example of she was modeling the behavior that had been set for. I mean, if you think about her attitude, did you see the attitude in the dad? We see it all the time. I think it, you know, one of the other things that really struck me is that, like, we talk about sins of omission and sins of commission. Well, you know, I think that there's sins of stealing that are very intentional, but then there's stealing that we don't even think about. And that's what, you know, I don't think that I'd fully appreciated until I studied this lesson and then seeing this and listening to the context of stealing the joy of a person. And when that happens, you know, what happened to the girlfriend? Was she validated in that relationship at all? She was validated. She was validated that it was okay for her to steal his money. But she fell into the same pattern as him. But she rationalized it was okay for her to make those decisions. In the same way that he'd rationalized his behavior, he was due the $32 million. Unfortunately, the little girl didn't really have a say in what was stolen from her. Didn't you love the dual mini at the very end? What was the last thing that she said when she was at the stand to go into the airport to get on the flight when she was getting her ticket? Remember the comment? Yeah. No idea about what?
All baggage.
Yeah. Will you be checking baggage today? Oh, you have no idea. Kind of subtly, she was talking about the baggage that she'd been carrying, but she was now justified. You could just see, she, do you love me? She had rationalized in her mind that this was it. She had given of herself in her mind, and that had not been returned to her.
you know, the more that I think about the black and whites of the stealing, the physical things, the money, cars, whatever it is, those are finite, touch and feel. But it's those intangible ones that to me really deserve an awful lot more reflection with regard to what are we stealing today. Well said. I mean, what are subtle ways? I mean, you just talked about it's not only stealing from God, but what are other examples of how we steal from God? Tithing. If everything is God's, and we're not giving Him the minimum, we've had lessons before, the minimum of what He asked of us as a tithe is 10%. That's the example that was set for us. If we don't give it, is that stealing? We've talked before, is it on the gross or on the net? Well, does God give to us on the gross or the net? I mean, there's a level of rationale going on there. I can't because of. Well, there were no conditions on God's love to us. There should be no conditions on our love to others either. And that's the give, the get. With God, it was unconditional. What other way? What's that?
Time.
Yeah. We steal time. There's lots of examples of that. The use of even in work. Time's something you can't ever capture back either. Yeah. Time in service to the Lord, employer, time with your family. Those are all things. Usury. A lot of examples of usury. You know, charging people more than and they can't afford it, but, you know, look, I'm doing a good thing here. I'm giving you money. At what rate? How about manipulation, deception? You talked about power, getting a job, but knowing that maybe you have some competition that's on the horizon. And so you kind of subtly behind the scenes, you know, say things, plant seeds and doubt in people's minds. I've seen it happen. I'm fortunate I don't see a lot of it happen, but it happens all the time. But imagine in Nick's industry, there's probably quite a bit of that. You know, success at all costs. Well, I'm not stealing anything. Well, you're stealing a person's identity when you disparage them behind their back. When your real goal, when you know the motive and the intent of your heart. About elections. The election was rigged. Again, it all gets back to that core. I can do good. I can rationalize. If I'm in power, I can do the good things. But to get to that power, look at what you've taken advantage of.
Well, also with the election, slander. It's stealing somebody's name. Yeah. That's a real problem.
It's really fascinating because, Sister Paul, exactly what you said. You know, it's how you steal by disparaging people. You're in essence calling into question their character. The one thing that we have, you know, great example. What do kids do? How do they steal? Anybody here ever when they were in school? What's that?
Talking about the physical
bullying.
Oh, was that?
Sorry.
You take the Jello. You take the. I mean, you see it all the time. I remember in junior high and elementary school, gerrymandering for second, and carrot sticks. It happened all the time.
Sure. What was your goal?
Bullying is a big thing in the news, and it's kind of stealing somebody's dignity or their reputation or their character. We're trying to put them down and put yourself up.
We don't realize how vulnerable people are. Those are great examples, and it really hit home with me in the data theft. You know, the thing that the number of elderly that didn't understand, you know, all they saw was, is, you know, these 360,000 names had been stolen. And then their whole world, they didn't know what that meant, and they felt vulnerable. And again, it's a great, very simple example, though, of how people feel, you know, when their identity and the core of who they are is either not acknowledged or affirmed, or that it's just dismissed. When you look right through somebody, it's a function of how you're stealing their identity and their dignity, too. The other thing I think that kids do, how many here ever cheated on a test? I know that I'm not, oh, okay, we got a couple, you know. I can raise my hand higher than yours. Plagiarizing? Yeah. Plagiarizing, yeah. We got about 4 minutes. I would like to play this is the one where the birthright is stolen. This is in Genesis 25, verses 27 through 34. It's about 50 seconds, but Genesis 25, 27 through 34.
And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
When you take advantage of somebody who's vulnerable, how many of you have ever been really, really hungry?
How many of you have gone to the grocery store when you were hungry? You're making choices that when you get home and you get a full tummy, you go, "Oh man, why did I do that?" That's what happened here. It was very intentional, obviously, on the part, because it was premeditated on the part of Jacob that he wanted that birthright. Getting the birthright meant that you got a double portion of the land, because you were your father's firstborn. He was the number two kid. So he was trying to figure out how he was going to get it. Well, is there any legitimate way? Oh, sure. I gave him food. I gave him lentil stew. He rationalized in his mind. The intent of his heart, and that's ultimately what gets back to whether it's stealing or adultery, anything like that. Always question the intent of your heart of why you're doing something. And that comes across in this all the time. Even if you stop and say, when you dismiss somebody, why did you dismiss them? If you stop and capture it before, or even ask yourself afterward, why did you dismiss them? Well, fine, it was because I was being selfish. I was more preoccupied with my own need. We don't hear cries of people when we are so focused on ourselves. And therefore, we in a sense are stealing from them. Any last comments from anybody?
You also have to take care of yourself, and you have to draw boundaries, because other people take, and there are those, you know, people. So there is a fine line, and I think, like you said, it comes down to your intent, but at the same point, sometimes there are those relationships that are toxic, that aren't healthy, and people just take, and in essence, are we stealing from them if we don't give them that opportunity to bend our ear or take our time, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, where does it become that line?
Absolutely not. I agree 100%
with what you're saying. And again, but the intent really still becomes the issue. If you really stop and say, why am I treating in this toxic relationship, if I continue to do the same things over again, you're going to get the same results. So in the situation here with the child that was here, you know, there are times when you say, you know, I don't have the time. Or
there are boundaries that have been established, and a person has to be accountable for their choices, and they have to live within those boundaries. And we sometimes then, you know, it becomes that tough love, so to speak, that you don't engage in what you might necessarily you might want to do or you feel a need to do, but because there are consequences and people need to understand that. So that happens with your kids all the time. But in this particular case here, that child lived in a pattern to where there probably weren't any boundaries, and they clearly didn't see a balance of the good with the bad. Great question.
That scenario to me is different than Jacob really scheming. When we start scheming to make something happen, mm-hmm. I think that's a whole, you know, that whole intent of trying to manipulate, like the guy in the show, you know, was manipulating and scheming to get what you wanted,
right.
Which is
a different. Right. No, you're exactly right. But again, it gets back to omission and commission. Commission is very much there's an intent that goes with it. Omission is just, you know, being so self-centered that you don't see what you're doing and the impact you're having with other people. But at the same time, you know, exactly what Kristen said is that, you know, you have to have to seek a balance. And again, there's the biblical principles, and you have to look at the whole counsel of God to be able to see that. Great points. Okay. Anybody else? Thanks, everybody. Appreciate the conversation.